And sometimes this verse can be used out of context as well and misinterpreted and thought that it means something else that it doesn't mean. This doesn't give us the right to keep on sinning or to stay in our sin. It gives us the right to see the glory of God and to see His grace that was for us. So let's read from John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You again for Your grace. I thank You that we can join together and we can worship You together in song and in word. I thank You for how You order our steps. We may try to plan our ways, but You order them. And You know what we need and when we need it. And I thank You, Father, for each one that is here today. I thank You for the opportunity that we have to be here together. And Father, if anyone is questioning their salvation or questioning You, that they would bring those questions to You, that they would cry out to You and find grace and find truth and find life and find peace and find joy and find hope and find Your love. So I ask now, as we go through the word together and as I bring this message that You have put upon my heart and uplifted me and encouraged me in, that it would speak volumes to each one, and that we would leave here rejoicing, and that we would leave here knowing Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So, some of you, I'm not sure if everyone's heard them, but the last few sermons, I'm just going to do a little recap so that we can get into John 3:16 and 17 here and come out from there. So why hope was the first one we did, which the candle was lit here as well today. We hope because our hope is out of this world, which He did come into the world, but now He sits on His throne in glory at the right hand of God. Hope gives us confidence that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. All humanity was plunged into sin through one man's sin. We all know that that person was Adam. And the death of sin spread to all men, and all have sinned, Romans 5:12. But we are no longer hopeless. And Advent reminds us of hope within the heavenly, and we wait with anticipation for His second coming through reminders of His first coming. We have been blessed with a hope that is out of this world, and that hope comes to us firsthand. The second one that we talked about, the sermon that I did, was why peace? All the sermons that I did for this were the four Advents were all why? Because we often ask why peace? Jesus is our peace with God. Ephesians 2:14a, for he himself is our peace. And then Jesus came in the fullness of God, and Mary gave birth to the Son of God, her firstborn son, and wrapped Him in the swaddling clothes and laid Him in a manger. Our way to peace is through Christ. Our free gift is peace with God through Christ's birth, death, and resurrection. The third was why joy. Last week, I wanted everyone to see and understand the importance of who and where our joy is coming from. Our joy is from the seed that was to come. God gave us the genealogies in Scripture so that our finite minds could understand the plan that God had from the first sin. The book of Genesis gave us a picture of how Satan would be crushed by this seed, which we talked about as well today. Someone had brought it up earlier. Jesus Christ, the righteous seed, has come. We who have believed possess eternal life. This is one reason why we rejoice. So, because of that, we'll move into the sermon now. Something marvelous has happened, and I want to tell each of you about it by way of reminder. I want to remind you of the blessings found in old truths. I was listening to the Advent series from John Piper. I'm sure some of you have heard of John Piper before. He's been a blessing in my life with his ministry. And it reminded me of old truths. And he was reminding me, and he was stating, old truths are good. And I was reminded of how important it is to make old truths truth by just reminding ourselves of those old truths. So I hope that you see the importance of old truths. Old truths from Scripture. 2 Peter 1:13 states, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. And then again in 2 Peter 3:1, this is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. Peter believed it was beneficial for Christians to be reminded of the gospel truths. And I do believe the same thing, that we need to be reminded of gospel truths. So I want to stir you up by way of a reminder. Our Advent, which means coming, is an opportunity to stir up in our lives what may have gone to sleep. This Advent is a time of stirring up. We need to be awakened by way of a reminder. We need to be reminded of these good old truths. These old truths really do matter. I need to be reminded of these old truths, just as you need to be reminded of these old truths. So I ask, have you fallen asleep this Christmas, throughout this year? Has your focus been more on your trials, or maybe on gifts that you spent a lot of money on, or didn't have the money and felt despair that you couldn't buy any presents or spend money on? Or maybe you have just fallen asleep, spiritually fallen asleep. You may need to be awakened. I think that we all need to be awakened. I think that we all need to be reminded every so often of the glory of God and His grace towards us. And that's why I do find that Christmas is a perfect opportunity to just wake us up, come back to what we know and what we believe. So I need to be awakened. You need to be awakened. God has called me and commissioned me to awaken these old truths for you and for me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here with you today if it wasn't for the commission of God upon my life. So again, I want to stir you up by way of reminder of old truths. So I want you to ask yourself, do I need to be awakened as you sit there today as we go through this? Do I need to be awakened? Ask yourself, have I fallen asleep? Have I become spiritually drowsy? Maybe you're feeling drowsy right now, I don't know. Maybe you're not, but have you become spiritually drowsy? If you are with us today and you have heard the gospel, or if you are not sure about the gospel, or if you are here today and don't believe the gospel, or if you have fallen asleep, well then, I have old truths for you today. Old truths by way of reminder. We'll see if everyone remembers Titus 3, 4 to 7. If you want to flip there, I'm just going to start reading, but I'm just going to go through a few verses right now. Titus 3, 4 to 7. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, take note that God our Savior, not just Christ, but God our Savior. Not only Christ, but God Himself. Because God is the Savior. God sent Christ so that we could come to Him and find redemption through Him. So, verse 5, He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy by washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And through belief, we have become heirs, heirs through the righteous work of our Savior. Then in 1 Peter 1:8 to 12, though you have not seen Him, you have Him, you love Him. Though you do not see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long. Those verses have a lot of power within them. There's a lot of truth. There is a lot of understanding that we can comprehend just from those scriptures themselves. But it is by way of reminder that we need to be reminded of those truths, that it was of old that was brought to us. What is new to us was then old. We have seen the glory of God displayed in Christ. We have tasted of his goodness. We have partaken of his body when we commune together, when we drink of the juice, the wine. We partake of his body and his blood. I would like to start off with a quote by John Piper. This was the thing that really got me going. This is what John Piper says, what you and I need is not usually a brand new teaching. Brand new truths are probably not truths. What we need are reminders about the greatness of the old truths. We need something to say on old truth. We need someone to say an old truth in a fresh way, or sometimes just to say it. I want to read that quote again. What you and I need is not usually a brand new teaching. Brand new truths are probably not truths. What we need are reminders about the greatness of old truths. We need someone to say an old truth in a fresh way, or sometimes just to say it. That got me thinking a lot, because we, as people, always want something new. We want to know, someone's horn. We want to know truth. We want to know truth, but then we want someone else to bring that truth to us in a different way than it was first brought. But we need to be reminded of old truths. Hopefully no one's stealing it. Oh, everyone's gone. Does everyone need a minute? someone got it. Or it's gone, one or the other. His birth changes everything. It does change everything. And his birth was an old truth. The birth of Christ changes everything for us. I really do believe it does. And this is why sometimes we can fall asleep, or maybe we've fallen asleep, is that this time doesn't really mean anything to us, because we go, well, he's coming a second time. Yes, he is coming a second time, but this reminder of the first time is in hopes of the second time that is to come, when God comes in his glory through Christ. His birth changes everything. So that's my first point with this, is his birth changes everything. Why does it change everything? Because the world was plunged into sin through one man's sin, as we just talked about earlier from Romans. That man was Adam. I'm sure we all remember that person. We all seen it in Scripture, or maybe heard the Scriptures many times in Genesis. But now there is another man who is the Christ. Romans 5:18 says, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Philippians 2:6-7 says, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. God's deity, God himself, the deity of God, dwelled bodily with all humanity. This is something that we have to celebrate. This is love. This is something to rejoice about. We can be happy and content in this, and we can rejoice in this. This birth, his birth, changes everything. His birth is historical, and it's biblically accurate. History proves true to the fact that he came. History proves true that he left. There are no bones of Jesus to be found, because he came not only to die, but to live with us. And this act of love from God through Christ is presented to us from the Father to the world. As we know in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So let me remind you, yet while we were still sinners, Christ came to make access to God and deliverance from God's wrath. Christ was never born to condemn the world, but to bring hope, peace, and joy, and to reveal the love of the Father for all who believe. So the question, do you believe? Or have you fallen asleep? First, what type of love is this really? When you hand a gift to someone at Christmas, do you expect one back? Maybe sometimes, maybe you don't think that you want one back, but sometimes you think, I would really like a gift back, or maybe you don't. Many of us may laugh and say, well, yes, I did really kind of like a gift, I wanted to give one, but no, sometimes we just like to give a gift, but sometimes we do expect something back. But the gift of Christ is free to everyone who believes. But imagine you received a gift from someone and then decided, I am not going to open this gift that you have given me. I'm just going to put it up on the shelf. Imagine that wrapped gift could pay off all of your debts, but you decide to reject it. Mary understood the gift she received. She opened her gift, and the gift came into the world. She felt Jesus in her womb. She felt the pains of childbirth. She held his tiny body in her hands and brought him close to her breasts. In the beginning, God created the light and separated the light from the darkness. The true light has come into the world, and the light has shone forth amidst the darkness. Mary rejoiced. Mary believed that God would fulfill what he said that he would fulfill when he brought that revelation to her through an angel. John 8:1-11. I recommend even to take the time today and just read through that for yourselves again and think about the gift that Christ gives to us. So John 8:1-11, take it and just read it for yourselves. But it was the woman who was caught in adultery, and Jesus frees her and does not condemn her. And he says, go and from now on sin no more. Do you think that she understood the gift that was given to her? I do. She did nothing to get the gift. All that stood before her was Christ. And as well, all that stood before her was her own sin. Condemnation was on her because of her sin, and Jesus gave her life. Do you come with life today, or do you come looking for life? The love of God is above anything of this world. It is out of this world. It is a love that is beyond anything that any of us can really give physically ourselves, because it gives us life from death. What man-made idol or man-made religion do we know today that offers eternal life to anyone? They might try to tell you a lie and say that they offer eternal life, or if you do this or that, you can gain something after life when you die physically and go to the grave. But there's no life in that. There's only life in Christ. No man can give us life after death. Only God can give us life after death. But it paints us a picture when we look at the gift of Christ for us. If you are here and you are young, or if you are here and you are old, there is a gift for each of us. And if you are here today, then you have come to understand how close and near God is to us. And through the love of Christ and through the love of God, Christ came. So I ask again, has the birth of Christ changed you? So second, why do we love? Because the Father's love is what we need. And only when we see our need will we see the love of the Father. We are all real people with real feelings, real hurts, real frustrations, real problems, real pains, real sins, real battles, real trials, real concerns. But it's all too easy for people to say they believe in the message of Christ and then to live hopeless because of the weight of our real concerns, or live misunderstanding the love of God by not receiving the gift of eternal life. As Christians, we do not need to be hopeless or overwhelmed by our trials. I am confident to say to you that you only need to look to the love of God and you will find confidence in Him amidst your battles. And I know there's many of you here today that have gone through many battles, or like Charlie brought up earlier, ones that are here that are battling the remembrance of one that has passed, or in the moment, Marlon Miller, who has passed. And there's those that were around him that loved him. And we can feel the weight that comes upon us. But we can know with hope that we have eternal life when we have trusted in God. So I ask again, has the birth of Christ changed you? The love of God is not far from any of us. It is very near us. Acts 17, you can actually dig into that a little bit more with Paul. I recommend that for you today too if you have time. So the love of God is not far from any of us. It is very near us. It is very tangible. In some ways, it feels like He is right here with us as we are reminded of the day when He came. He came from the Father to show His love. Romans 5:5 states, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It's come to dwell within us. God comes to dwell within us when we believe on the name of Christ and we follow after Him and desire not to sin anymore because we put our trust in Him, and He gives us the ability to then walk out what the glory of Him is. So before we go any further, though, as I was thinking about this too, can love really be felt? Well, I believe that it can be felt. I believe the love of God can be felt through the Spirit that has been poured into our hearts, as I just said. And then John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So if we love, we are acting out what we have understood. And others can feel the love we give to them. And if you do not love, then you don't understand the love of God. So let me remind you of the woman caught in adultery. She felt the love of God. Otherwise, she would have felt the pains of death by stones. Mary felt the love of God when she gave birth to our Savior. Mary rejoiced in what God had done for her. Mary was so rejoiceful that she, in Luke 1:46-56, magnifies the glory of God. And if you go through that, maybe I should recommend again here, go through this today, Luke 1:46-56. Read through it again for yourself and think about what God had brought Mary. Think about what God had placed within Mary's womb. Think about what Mary gave birth to. And when she first does, in verses 46, I think to 49 roughly, she's talking about what God has done for her. She says, "My spirit rejoices. My soul is magnified by the Lord. And He has looked on me as a humble servant. And all generations will call me blessed." And then in verse 49, "For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and is holy, and holy is His name." Then in verses 50 and on, she praises the name of God, "and His mercy is for those who fear Him." She just magnifies God in His glory and in His magnitude. She speaks of the glory of God. And he scattered the proud in his thoughts, verse 51, of their hearts. And he has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to the offspring forever. So Mary rejoices for what God has done within her when she was with Elizabeth. And the womb, the baby that jumps within Elizabeth as well, gets excited, and the Holy Spirit is put into Elizabeth when you go back further in Luke chapter 1. But there's excitement that's going on here because they're excited about what the Lord is doing. Elizabeth, in old age, becomes pregnant. Mary is given birth, or will be giving birth to Jesus. She'll be giving birth to the Son of God. There is rejoicing in that. And that is an old truth for us to see. So, I want to say this again in 1 John 4:9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His Son, His only Son, into the world so that we might live through Him. And another verse again. 1 John chapter 4, verses 10. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that In this is love. There we go. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So if God first loved us, then we need to show others the love of God that we have felt. When we come to understanding the gospel, when we come to salvation, we can comprehend how weighty the sin is on us, and we can feel the weight of sin that just holds us down, or those chains that keep us chained up to the desires for the things of the world. But when the love of Christ comes to us, He lifts us of the sin that kept us from God, and it humbles us, and then it glorifies us because we're glorified in Him. So love is seeing God in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it states, in their case, the God of this world was blind. Their minds were blinded. They're blinded. Their minds are blinded. Let me say it again. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Christ is God in the flesh. Then in verse 6, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. This is the gift of God. This is our present, the gift of God in the man, Christ. The wrapping paper has been removed, who come to pay for our sins. Love from our Heavenly Father is acted out to us through Christ. Love is exhibited through the empathy and kindness of our loving Father through the work of Christ. Love is fulfilled through Christ. God is love, and if God is love, we can feel Him through the face of God, and we can see Him through the face of God. We can feel Him in our hearts. So I want to leave you again with John 3:16. To 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. And then I want to leave you with this question that I've asked a few times. Has the birth of Christ changed you? Let's pray, and then we'll go into song. Father, I just thank You again for Your word. I thank You that we can comprehend Your glory through the work of Christ. I thank You that we can know for a fact that when we have been saved, that we have eternal life, that we have a new hope, that we have a new peace, that we have a new joy, and that we have love. And I just ask, as we go to our separate ways, that we would remember Your work that was done for us. And as we go to our homes to open presents, or maybe we go to our homes feeling sad about a person that we have lost in this time and in this season, or maybe we're battling with some kind of financial state at this moment. Maybe we're struggling in that area. Maybe we're struggling spiritually with you. Maybe we're uncertain of who you really are. Maybe we're uncertain of how glorious you are. Maybe we don't even know how good you are or how true your love is for us. I don't know each and everyone's situation in their own life, but I do know that we do battle real situations, we do battle real trials, and we do have real concerns. And when we put our trust in you, you bend low to listen to our prayers. And when we pray in your will, you will fulfill what you say you will accomplish. So I just thank you, Father, now for everyone here. And I just ask that you would help us to leave here remembering your glory through the Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.